Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome one and all to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. We've got good news, bad news, and crazy news for conservatives today. And Jim, let's, as usual, start with the good news. And it's not all that often that we get the good news from a prominent Democrat like James Carville. But Carville, who of course has been known to speak his mind from time to time, including in the wake of the BP disaster, in the wake of the Republican win in New York 9 a few weeks ago, he said the prescription for the Obama administration was to panic and fire a lot of people. So he was on the Scott Hennin radio show. Scott's a conservative, and they were talking about the presidential field. And here's what Carville had to say about the difficulties he sees in an Obama reelection.
Everything worries me in this environment. Nobody has gotten elected with these kinds of numbers. So I'm worried in a general election. I profoundly admit that.
Now, Carville spent most of the interview explaining why he thinks the Republicans have a very weak field and why that is good for Obama. But in the end, Jim, we've all seen the statistics. Since FDR, no one has won re-election when the national unemployment rate is north of 7.2%. It's a full 2 percentage points nearly above that at 9.1%. All these economic reports coming out are pretty bleak. While the president may try to put together a class warfare argument and already is doing that, the facts are the facts, and history suggests that that's good news for the party out of power, and that's the conservatives.
Yeah, what Obama has several big problems that nobody on the Democratic side has really devised a good solution to. The first is that this is not something that he didn't know coming in. The economy had really begun to crash after Lehman Brothers in fall of 2008. It's not like he can say he was totally blindsided by this. In fact, I think most people would agree the economic crisis was one of the primary forces behind his election in 2008. So it's not like he can say, well, you know, I'm still getting up to speed. Secondly, it's the amount of time. And then three, it's the number of times he has said things are getting better, i.e. recovery summer, or the stimulus is working, saved or created, blah, 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 blah. And he just can't really point to any serious successes. And you point out the unemployment number. I think a really revealing statistic that I haven't seen cited more often came from Mark McKinnon, who was one of Bush's guys, who was saying that Obama needs the consumer confidence numbers, not usually a direct political indicator, but basically, how do you feel about your own economic situation? How do you feel about, you know, your immediate economic future or long-term economic future? He needs it to improve about 20 points just to get to where it was during, you know, fall of 1980 and fall of 1992,
wow,
when Jimmy Carter lost and when George H.W. Bush lost. Obama needs a phenomenal surge in consumer confidence just to get to normal bad levels. You know, that's astonishingly bad. And so, you know, the front page of USA Today this morning is the hollowing of the middle class. I mean, these are bleak, bleak conditions to be running for office. I think Carville, because of his stature in the party and the fact that he's now retired and making a lot of money on the speaking tours, et cetera, he can now speak his mind and say what I suspect a lot of Democrats are really thinking. Alternatively, they may just be walking around with blinders on and pretending that everything's going to be okay by the time Obama next faces voters in November 2012.
No, that's pretty much what they have to hope for. But as we mentioned, he wasn't real impressed with the front runners on the Republican side, including Rick Perry, including Herman Cain, including Mitt Romney. And Romney, unfortunately, is our focal point for the second martini today. Jim focused on this a bit in the morning jolt today. Mitt Romney was visiting a phone bank in Ohio as he's going around campaigning. And one of the main things these people at the phone bank were doing were trying to call up people and voice opposition to these proposals on the ballot that would roll back Governor Kasich and the Republican legislature's efforts to cut spending for public sector positions and so forth. Ohio kind of went through the same thing. Wisconsin and some other states have, just didn't get quite as much attention for doing it. Nonetheless, Romney was asked what he thought about these different policies, and he's like, oh, I'm not here to say yes or no on these issues. I'm just here to, in general, support the idea of a streamlining government. So he's obviously taken a tremendous amount of flack, and he seems to be walking it back today with a little bit more of definitive support for the Kasich position. But Jim, for a guy with a reputation as a flip-flopper, this did not help at all.
By the way, I believe the statement he's put out this morning is that he supports it 110%. Fans of Rick Perry and other candidates are saying the margin of error on that is about 100%. I'm going to read to you the comment Romney made so we can really put this in context. She says that, "I am not speaking about the particular ballot issues. Those are up to the people of Ohio. But I certainly support the efforts of the governor to rein in the scale of government. I am not terribly familiar with the two ballot initiatives, but I'm certainly supportive of the Republican Party's efforts here." Now, for starters, apparently Romney had said on his Facebook page that he supported these initiatives way back. He supported the reforms Kasich had enacted back in June. So he already took a position. And so now he's just there at this call center in which people are calling people to support voting down these initiatives, which would undo the Kasich reforms. And he's insisting he doesn't want to take a position on them. Now, look, if you support what Kasich's doing, you have to want to shoot down the initiatives. You really can't say, "I think this is a terrific idea, but I have no particular opinion on whether or not we should repeal them."
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and when you said about, you know, particular trouble for a guy with a reputation as a flip-flopper, I keep marveling at how candidates, fairly or not, you develop this perception in public. And we can always believe the mainstream media narrative is always going to be tougher on Republicans than it is on Democrats, but usually it's a mixed bag. For Mitt Romney, you don't see a lot of people who say Mitt Romney is dumb. Mitt Romney has done enough things in life that most people think, okay, he's fairly smart. The concern is that he's unprincipled. It's that he's got a certain lack of fortitude when it comes to taking – that he won't take an unpopular stance, and he's not willing to take the slings and arrows that come with taking that unpopular stance, and he's always hedging his bets, etc. So he's got to know that he has this reputation, and thus he's got to know that this sort of thing will hurt him more than it will hurt – Herman Cain or Rick Perry or one of the other candidates. You know, I mean, Cain's problem, we'll get to it in a second, you know, is this guy serious? Perry's problem is this guy too Texan, too rootin' tootin' Yosemite Sam to lead the whole country? These guys have their things, and for some reason they keep stepping into controversies and making comments that, instead of refuting the negative narrative against them, keeps confirming it. And, you know, now, of course, you know, Romney's going to say, no, what I really meant was that, oh, you meant those initiatives. Oh, whoa, I love those Kasich reforms. I love them like bonbons. I want to sit in my bed all day and eat them. That's what he's going to do. And he's, of course, going to overcompensate, and no one's really going to believe him. And this is our front runner, or near front runner, Greg.
You mentioned Herman Cain and his issue. Is he serious? And one of the interesting things people are looking at right now is his campaign video, which for some reason features his campaign chairman, Mark Block, who surprisingly is a Herman Cain supporter, Jim. And so here's what he has to say towards the end of the video. Unfortunately, we have audio here, so you don't get the full effect, but we'll explain it in a moment.
"We've run a campaign like nobody's ever seen. But then America's never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. We need you to get involved, because together we can do this. We can take this country back."
Very catchy tune at the end there. And the first thing you see as the music swells is Mark Block taking a drag off of a nearly finished cigarette. And then that somehow transitions into a smiling Herman Cain on the final slide of the video. And Jim, a lot of folks have pointed out that why is your campaign manager making this video instead of the candidate or perhaps someone else? The thing that jumps out at me is Mark Block and perhaps Herman Cain himself have realized, wow, we're actually have a chance at this thing. Maybe we ought to build some organization in, I don't know, maybe a state that has caucuses like Iowa. And this shows a little bit of last-minute scrambling, I think.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Washington Post columnist Ruth Marcus, who probably considers herself center-lefty, and I'm willing to bet a lot of listeners out there would say, more lefty than center.
Yeah.
I believe she had to have administered smelling salts when she saw actual smoking in a campaign ad. She literally, in her column today, is just, she cannot find the words to express the shock and horror of someone actually smoking a cigarette in an ad. Now, I think it was Jeff Greenfield who had the first question of, look, whether or not you like the smoking, whether or not you like the music feels like it comes from some cheesy 80s synthesizer video or something like that. Why is your campaign manager saying my candidate's a swell guy? Doesn't that kind of go without saying? I mean, you're working for him. We kind of get it. And then America has never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. Yes, we know. there's never been a Herman Cain before. Great, swell, that's fantastic. But that's true for any candidate. We've never seen a candidate like Rick Perry, although some people would say actually we did. His name was George W. Bush. We've never seen a candidate like Mitt Romney other than Mitt Romney of 4 years ago. Actually, he's a completely different guy. But you get the idea that these are, you know, these all sound nice, but they don't really say anything. And so just bizarre. It reminds me a little, maybe this is a little bit of the Dale Peterson effect. We all remember the ad from last time of him, you know, I remember the subtext of that one believing it was vote for me or I will shoot you in the face. And perhaps there's that need for that. This is the post-Demon Sheep era in which people can be a little more experimental with their campaign ads. In the end, look, you know, Herman Cain, according to a bunch of polls, you're front runner, okay? It's time to elevate your game. You may very well get the Republican nomination, or you may very well be the next president of the United States. So time to bring out some polish. You know, this is not the time to start spending pennies and pennies and minutes doing your first major introduction ad. So that's my my sense of things. I'm sure a lot of Herman Cain fans will consider this to be evidence that I am thoroughly against Herman Cain. Of course, the previous segment let everyone know that we are rhinos who are opposed to Mitt Romney. And of course, the jokes about Rick Perry suggest that we're rhinos opposed to Rick Perry. And in the end, Greg, I don't know, but I get the feeling we just want to see Obama go down. We just want to see, you know, somebody beat somebody, get the country back on that rightward course, and, you know, they will get a better shot around. Hey, what a cheery way to end that third martini.
It certainly is. Yes.
Do listeners get the feeling we're going for a fourth, fifth, and sixth martini after taping is done?
So. Yeah, today was rough all the way around. But Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.